Good Monday. Today is March the 17th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, Tom Veery is with Clean Fuels Alliance America. I had a chance to catch up with Tom at Commodity Classic a couple weeks ago, and we talked about a lot of exciting things going on when it comes to renewable fuels in the agriculture industry. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Tom Veery with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Tom, a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of buzz in the industry right now, but a lot of that tied into 45Z tax credits. A lot of things probably to get sorted out with that yet, so we won't dig real deep into that. But some exciting things going on the demand side when it comes to renewable fuels. Give us an update maybe of some of the neat things that are happening with shipping, with rail, with all those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely, Dusty. That's the exciting part equation of the supply demand of our industry right now. I've been around biodiesel for 30 years. I've never seen the opportunities look so good for biodiesel than I do today. And we're seeing new industries, new markets are looking to use biodiesel to help decarbonize their supply chain. I know Ohio Soybean, Maddie Corby, is working with our petroleum team on some Great Lake shipping companies to get biodiesel on the Great Lakes, which is real exciting. And we're also working with the Class 1 railroads like Norfolk Southern. They've all committed to decarbonization goals. They see biodiesel as a as the fuel they want to use to get to the reach their carbon goals. So I know Norfolk Southern, I'm sure they run through Ohio quite a bit. Yep. They want to get to 20% biodiesel blends in a relatively short period of time, 5-6 years. They just started, they're at 3% already. So very exciting times. And then the home heating oil market in the Northeast, we're seeing train loads of biodiesel leave the Midwest, head to the Northeast to supply them for bioheat. So they got a lot of pressure to decarbonize the home heat industry. And so the other options are air source heat pumps, which are fine, but if your home doesn't have one to retrofit, it costs $25,000-$30,000. Here you got biodiesel; you just change the fuel, not the heating system. And so there's a lot of opportunities there as well. And I know we were talking about the low carbon fuel standards. That's more of a West Coast market, but that's about half our demand now, Dusty. We got California has led that effort. Well, based on what we're saying on the low carbon fuel standards is that they're trying to decarbonize their economies, and the low carbon fuel standard is focused on transportation. And so we've seen California is the lead, like they are in a lot of these type of issues. Right now we're at 75% biodiesel and renewable diesel is 75% of the diesel market. It's the number two diesel market behind Texas in the country. And then their neighbors to the north, Oregon and Washington, implemented similar programs, low carbon fuel standards. Oregon's at 40, we're at 40% of the diesel pool. And then Washington is about 20%. Those programs start a little later than California. And then the newest entry is New Mexico, one of the biggest big oil states.
Yeah.
They're gonna start implementing low carbon fuel standards. And what we work, they're looking at all the different technologies. A lot of times they see EVs, electric vehicles, playing a big role, which is fine. They can do a great job in certain segments, but in the heavy duty, it's just not quite there yet. And so that really provides an opportunity for us. I don't know if they're ever going to be there. I mean, are we ever going to see an electric Ora carry on the Great Lakes? I don't know. But until that, they figure that out, I think there's so much opportunity for biodiesel.
Neat. It's neat to see those exciting things going on, and neat that Clean Fuels Alliance America is out there really leading the charge and promoting that for the American farmer.
Yeah, and thanks to the Ohio Soybean Board support and the United Soybean Board, we're able to develop these new markets, these new opportunities. When we get involved in these low carbon fuel standards, these states, it's if you're not there, you're not at the table.
Right.
you're not in the deal. So if we're not there, they have a positive bias towards other technologies like electric vehicles. And sometimes they have a little bit of a negative bias on a biofuel. They have a lot of misperceptions about food versus fuel, land use change like that. So because of support from folks like Ohio Soybean, we're able to generate the data, to have these discussions that are backed up by data, that we're able to make a convincing case that biodiesel, renewable diesel, can play an important role in this. We got New York too. You want to talk about that?
Sure.
No, New York City is exciting. I mean, they mapped out a decarbonization strategy 20 years ago, and what they want to do is electrify what they can, and what they can't, they're going to put biodiesel, renewable diesel in. And that is where they're at today. They have 12,000 diesel vehicles, largest municipal fleet in the country, 100% renewable diesel and biodiesel blends. That includes the FDNY, the fire department. That includes the police department, the sanitation department, all running on blends of biodiesel, renewable diesel, 100%. Well, it's neat. They're always looking for the next thing. And so they just implemented renewable diesel into their ferry fleet, the famous Staten Island ferries.
Yeah.
The yellow and blue ferries. So they got that program. They're going to do that. And then they're going to go to get bioheat, 100% bioheat in all their schools.
Wow.
So, that's when I say, 30 years of experience, I've never seen so much opportunity for biodiesel. I truly mean it. It's we need more soybeans, because we need the soybean oil to turn it into beautiful biodiesel and sell it to our friends on the East Coast and West Coast.
That's exciting, and it sounds like the sky's the limit. Again, my guest today is Tom Veery. He's with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Tom, thanks so much for the update and for all your work.
You're very welcome, Dusty. Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, making the case that climate rules lead to untold regulatory costs, the Environmental Protection Agency back on Wednesday announced a wave of actions to roll back nearly every climate-related rule released under the Biden administration and challenge the scientific decisions behind those rules. For farmers, the EPA moves could delay or end tighter emission standards on pickup trucks and semis that were set to start in 2027. Now, EPA back on Wednesday announced a flurry of actions to roll back regulatory standards tied to emissions for power plants, vehicles, and industries. And in each action, the EPA stated the agency will, quote, revisit or reconsider those specific rules. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said that the EPA was taking 31 actions in total, and in a Wall Street Journal op-ed, Zeldin declared that Wednesday was the, quote, most consequential day of deregulation in American history. The EPA overhaul would be, quote, driving a dagger through the heart of the climate change religion and ushering in America's golden age. Now, among the announcements, EPA will reconsider the 2009 scientific finding by that agency that greenhouse gases threaten public health and welfare. That ruling allowed the EPA to begin regulating six major greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. While reconsidering the endangerment finding, the EPA will review all regulatory actions tied to that decisions. Zeldin and other Trump administration officials said the endangerment finding negatively affects business and the economy in several ways. The Trump administration will not sacrifice national prosperity, energy security, and the freedom of our people for an agenda that throttles our industries, our mobility, and our consumer choice while benefiting adversaries overseas, Zeldin said. We will follow the science, the law, and common sense wherever it leads, and we will do so while advancing our commitment towards helping to deliver cleaner, healthier, and safer air, land, and water. Now, beyond that, they also announced a new rewrite of the Waters of the U.S. rule and are looking at a detailed range of regulatory moves. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.